I want you to look at the first chapter, verses 3 through 8 today. We're going to be looking at this text here this morning. We've had a really full Christmas time. We've had a lot going on. We've did a wonderful Christmas season where the church family has been focused on our Advent series. Pastor Tom wrote a great devotional as we've been focusing on that as we went through all of that and set our minds on those things. And Pastor Craig was doing his family Sunday school class, and he was encouraging us how we could really talk about the Lord within our families and how to really make it ourselves at ease and just to make the topic the Lord and that kind of thing. Just a lot that has been going on and some great things. We had the Christmas play, the Christmas Eve service, and all the way through this on my heart was this message today. Brian's kind of encouraged you a little bit in it. Today we come to our last message of 2015, and for a few weeks now, I'd say at least three, this is something that I've wanted to do. By the Lord's leading, He's given me a heart for this. I want to share my heart reflection upon this year. I've titled it Growing by His Grace. That's what I titled the message. You know, most pastors do this. Pastor Tom would affirm this. We do this a lot, you know, in our lives. We look back. We look upon the church family. We're very reflective in where God is at work and what He's doing in the life of the church and the body of Christ, and really in tune with your lives in a sense of, you know, how God is at work and praying for you and encouraging, you know, and wanting to be an encouragement to you. But we're really reflective a lot. Just on the church body, you know, and as I thought about this, we're kind of like measuring growth, in a sense. We just look at the Lord's work and the Lord's hand upon your life and just desiring God to work. And I thought about this illustration of it. My grandson he's in second grade and he's got a garden. Krista's involved in that, so it's a second grade garden. And they planted some winter vegetables. They got the ground ready and they tilled the ground, they fertilized the ground, they got it all ready. They prepared the soil, they fertilized it, and they planted these winter vegetables in there is what they did, and they've, you know, the freeze comes, they cover it. I mean, they're just doing the whole thing. But what the class is doing is they're going out with their and measuring the growth on the plant. They're seeing the change that's coming, and they're learning and growing, and they're looking upon what's been happening with the thing. They're watching the growth. They're seeing the change. And like Paul said, and we would all affirm this in 1 Corinthians 3, what Paul said, some plant, some water, but who causes the growth? What's it say, people? God causes the growth, right? I might plant, I might water, I might till the ground, I might fertilize, I might study God's word. I will study God's word. We should all study God's word. We should apply God's word to our life. We should look into the word of God. We should encourage each other in the body of Christ. We should, all the things that God would say in His word that we should do, but even all that we would do, who causes the growth, church? Because He's the one that is the growing agent, right? Without the work of God, the power of God, God's the one that's growing this. All of us are well aware of that by God's divine hand upon our lives, He's causing the growth. So as we reflect upon last year, we're going to focus on this passage. And we're going to focus on how we have been growing by His grace. That's what we're going to look at. Paul, this is, your Bibles are in Colossians chapter 1, verse 3 and 8. Paul's very reflective a lot of times in the Word of God. If you look throughout his letters, you often see him looking back and talking about how the church was walking with the Lord, and he shared his heart and concern for the life of the church. We find that in one of Paul's letters here in Colossae, the one he wrote to Colossae in Colossians 1, 3 through 8. It's a very reflective moment. He's talking about what he had heard and understood about the church family and at Colossae, and he, in a sense, is recognizing the growth by God's hand, by God's grace, in a very reflective way. We're going to do that the same for us, and then as we go through this word, as we look at God's word, we're going to reflect it upon us. I'm going to encourage you, look in your own life, reflect upon your own heart, let God show you as you would look back at God's hand upon your life and the work that He's been doing in your life. And that's how we're going to approach this today. Let's read the text. And then we'll look upon the growth and apply God's word to ourselves. Paul wrote to this church, he said this, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ and your love which you have for all the saints because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you just as it has in all the world and is constant, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit." Now, did you hear what he said? the Word of God, what Paul is writing to this church. You hear what he said? I could say the same thing to you. I give thanks to God for you, always praying for you. For I've heard of your faith, I've seen your faith, I know your faith in Christ, I've seen it in Christ. I've seen God work in your life, in the love for one another, grow and grow in the life, and for the hope that you have laid up in heaven, the hope that you have in this life. I see it constantly bearing fruit in your life and increasing as it did since the day you've heard of it. And how many, many, many in this church, how they taught you and have encouraged you and instructed you in the Word of God, and I see the Spirit of love going off in your life. See, we can say the same thing of each other. That's what Paul is doing here. He's seeing believers in Christ and recognizing the grace of God in their life, growing them. It begins in salvation, but it never stops, does it? It never stops. And so what Paul is recognizing here, he's reflective. We're going to be reflective, and look what he's talking about here. And look upon our own lives. So here, Paul, in verse 5 and 6, look at it with me. He says this, "You heard in the word of truth the gospel which has come to you just in all the world as it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing." Did you hear what he said in there? The agent that causes the growth from beginning to end is the gospel, is the word of truth. It's the agent that causes the growth. It's God's word in our life, God's truth proclaimed to us that we believe, act upon, trust in the Lord, and it acts upon us. The reality of God, the reality of God, His declared word upon our lives grows us. That's what he just said. His truth, the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of Christ, the whole word of truth of God declared upon us and us. We'll get into some things that how we apply that and how we respond to it. But that word, that truth, by God's divine hand acting upon us, changed us, grew us, transformed us, born again, that kind of thing. And that's what he's acknowledging. Each one of us, as we would look back on this year, as you be reflective today with me today on how the word of truth and the gospel and how God and his word by his divine hand has acted upon your life by the things that you saw and the things that he showed you and the things that he revealed to you, and you acted upon them and you changed and you grew and things happened, because we can do all that we can do, but God causes the growth. And the agent of it is his truth, his word. And we're looking back upon our lives and seeing how that has happened. It's like what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. You received the word of God. You accepted it as God's truth. And it, God's word, performed its work in you who believe. That's the beginning change of salvation. But it doesn't stop, does it? I haven't been made complete yet. How about you? God is still at work, like what Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2-3. He said, "Since you have tasted that the Lord is kind, then like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, taking it in as nourishment grows you." Or what Paul said in Colossians 3:16, you need to apply to yourself the word of Christ so it would richly dwell within you and you would grow. The word of truth, the good news of Christ, and all of who Christ is. Is longed for, is sought after to guide our lives here. That's a truth. That's a reality. It's sought after here. We seek the Word of God and His truth and His way that's in His Word. We want to know and understand who God is and who we are and what God is talking to us about and what He's asking of us and how He's guiding it. We seek God in the Word of God in all his ways and all how he wants to speak to our lives. It's sought after and it guides us here. That's a reality when you look back. Amen? Some less, some more, but we're not talking about any of that. We're looking reflective. It's having a strong effect on us. It's changing us, isn't it? Paul says in verse 5 and 6, look what he said. He said, "You heard the word of truth, the gospel," and in verse 6 he said, "You heard it." He says you heard it twice. You know you heard it. You have to hear it, right? You have to hear the word of God. You have to hear the word of truth. This isn't an osmosis thing that you just kind of looked at it and it came in. It's hearing it. And what is God meaning by that? It's more than just hearing the sound. I've done this before and I'm going to do it again, and you guys can just see the illustration. But are you hearing me right now? If you're hearing me right now, everybody that hears me right now, raise your right hand. Thank you. Who didn't raise their right hand? Did they hear me? You answer the question. If somebody didn't raise their right hand, did they really hear me? Or were they rebellious on what they heard? I'm not going to do that. That makes me uncomfortable. I don't like that. I don't raise my hand in church. But did you hear me? No, you didn't hear me if you didn't raise your right hand, right? You didn't hear the Word of God if you don't apply the Word of God, if you don't live the Word of God, if the Word of God doesn't come acting out of your life, doesn't come forth out of your life, where God says that you need to be considerate of others more than yourself, or he says you need to humble yourself and walk after the humility of Christ, or those kind of things. Did you really hear it if you just heard it but it didn't do anything in your life? Did you hear it? See, the word here, akouo in the Greek, doesn't mean I heard it. It means, this is what it means. It means I listened with attention and I hearkened upon it, and you heard the word of the gospel and believed it and acted in faith. That's Acts 15:7. That's what God says when he says you heard the word of truth. That's what he means when he says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God or the word of Christ. It's not that I heard it, it went in my ear. It's that it acted upon me what I heard. And as we're reflective upon our lives, I have so many things in my heart and my mind. How about you, where I heard, but I didn't hear? But I heard. I'm going to confuse you in a minute, right? But see, God is so gentle and kind and loving and caring that he knows that you heard, but you didn't hear, but you want to hear and you need to hear. Good. In Luke 19:48, here's the idea of the word. You are attentive to every word of the Lord. How many have children that hear you but don't hear you? How come you don't hear me? I've told you 3 times. Get off of that. Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. Why didn't you get off? Because I didn't want to do what I heard. The idea here, this is what he says. You heard the word of truth. Listen, look back in your life. Be reflective today. Did you hear the word of truth? Because if you heard it, it changed you. Because that's the agent of God and how he works. He grows you and changes you and moves in your life. And yes, it can become daunting at times. And yes, it can become overwhelming at times. But it's God, divine hand of God. The divine hand of God, the one over it all, that sees every day, that knows our life is just but a vapor. Today chooses to work in your life. And if he is for us, who can be against us? It's not that he's against us in anything. God's not trying to mess up our life. He's not trying to mess with our life. God is so for us, it's incredible. And we hear the word of truth taught by many here, don't we? Look at verse 7. Look what he said. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. I wrote like 60 names in there. I want to think of the Awana Club. Many faithful stewards here teaching God's truth, the word of truth. I want to write all the leaders of Awana Club and just caring about our children and caring about them and understanding here the word of truth, the gospel, what God uses to change lives. And they keep proclaiming it and teaching it in all these dynamic ways, all of these Awana teachers and all the patients that can be. And I think of all the women's Bible studies and the Revelation class and the spiritual mothering class and the other times that they're getting together. And then I think of adult Sunday school, and I think of the men's Bible studies going on Thursday morning and Friday morning, and some discipleship that I know that's going about, and people getting together. And I think about the children's Sunday school and the youth Sunday school. And I think about the things that David would share about just in his heart and his mind about God's word and his truth. And I look reflective, and I say, God's word is at work in the body of Christ. That God is at work. We want to look like that. We want to look upon our lives in that way. We want to be reflective upon what's... There's so much to see. It's so much negative in this world to focus on. But we want to stand fast on God's word, his truth, and be reflective upon. Are we holding out the word of truth in love? Are we holding it out in love? Because nothing is ever greater than that. So we're hearing the word of truth, and as Paul said, you understood it. Look at verse 6. Look at what he said, which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God and truth. I am growing in my understanding of the grace of God and truth. Aren't you? And it began somewhere in Christ. But the word here understood is epignosko in the Greek. It means to become more thoroughly acquainted with, to know accurately and well. It's like relationship with God's truth, intimate with the truth of God. And as you understand by the grace of God, you are saved. By that same grace, you grow. It's like this. Have this view of it. You recognize following God's word changes you, and he causes the growth, so you follow God's word. That's understanding. You understood it. It's the grace of God. He says the word of God, the word of truth, the gospel is bearing fruit in your life. Be reflective. Is it bearing fruit? I look upon mine. I look upon yours. Not judgmentally, but in thankfully and graciously praising God for what he's doing. Look what he says. It bears fruit. Verse 6, constantly bearing fruit and increasing. See, God doesn't stop at salvation. And as we look back upon our year, God never stopped, did he? He just began in salvation. Jesus said in John 15:16, he said that God has appointed you, put your name in there, put Ken, put your name, to bear fruit and that it would remain. The growth stays with you. He's appointed you for that. The divine creator of it all, God. As you reflect upon the church family and you reflect upon your family and your life, you see the growth. Like Luke records in Acts 12:24, the word of the Lord continues to grow and be multiplied. It reminded me of another illustration. Have you guys done this in your family where you have on the corner of your door frame or somewhere in your thing and you start marking all the kids from like 2 and they're about this high and then their battle's going on. They're 2.5, 3 and then, you know, if you got more than, we had 3 in our home, so it kind of went like this all the time and we'd always look at it and say, ooh, look at the growth of you. You grew this much this year and then somehow we did it every 6 months. The 6 months previously, I think my middle child went like this when she was up there because the next time it was like that much lower. You know, but you're recognizing, you're seeing those kind of things. And now we do that with Cameron and, oh my gosh, my little grandson is 7.5 and was like that since 6.5. But as much as I feed him and as much as I nourish him, and as much as I cram, you know, all of that stuff in his, you know, right? And Nana makes all the meals and tries to keep a belly on him, right? Who causes the growth? Who grows your child? God, right? Even though you do all the cooking and all the sewing and all the washing and all the things that you do, and you share the word of God. We have all the responsibilities, thank you, Anthony, that we have from God that he asked us to do. But who's in charge of the growth? The divine one, right? God himself, Christ. We apply the word of truth, the word of God to our lives. We understand it. We hear it. We understand it. And we act upon it. And then God, in his divine way, and in his grace, in his mercy, God is causing the growth. And we're bearing fruit. This is the way of God in the life of the church, in our lives. That's the way of God. I wish I could pick the fruit, don't you? Or decide what fruit came. How you farmers, right? Don't you wish you could just say, ooh, look at the nuts on that tree this year. I decided that, right? Or man, the oranges, but they're up in price. Let's make them a little bigger this year. Let's go ahead and grow those things. But it's God. And as much as we want fruit to come, and as much as our heart aches when we don't see fruit, and much as we're broken when we see someone that isn't hearing or understanding or receiving God's word, we're not in charge of it. But he says he's constantly bearing fruit and increasing. That word increasing, that's an incredible word there. It means to make, to grow. The word of truth, the gospel, is growing you. It was given to grow you, change you, and all of us need to change and grow. That's what he's talking about, and God's doing it. He's being reflective upon the church, upon the body of Christ, and looking at their life. And the gospel came to you. Whatever year it came to you and saved you and reconciled you back to God and brought you in relationship with God. But the word of truth, the gospel, came to you, And it began a growth in you that only God does. It began a change in you that only God does. It began a work in you that only God does. And as we apply the word of truth, as we hear the word of truth and understand the word of truth, acting upon it because we understood and hear and apply it into our life, and as we do those kind of things, what God is doing is he's bearing fruit, the fruit he decides that he's going to bear, and the growth that God wants to bring. Man, isn't that encouraging? Isn't it? It's absolutely amazing what God has planned and purposed on what he's going to do. He's at work in all of us, fitting us together, Ephesians 2:21, into the holy temple of the Lord. God is going to make us grow. In Ephesians 2:21 says us together. He says you are growing up, maturing in all the aspects of the Lord, Ephesians 4:15. That's what God is doing. He's doing that. As you reflect and I reflect upon this year, we're all growing by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God. We're all changing. Faith is coming about. And it's not simple, is it? Anybody want to say it's simple? It's an easy road? Sometimes, but it's not easy, isn't it? It's challenging. It's difficult, to say the least, for life circumstances. This life brings God's truth to bear upon our life. It's amazing. It is truly amazing how much you can see in a storm if you look for God. It's absolutely amazing. It's like this last rainstorm, last Monday and Tuesday up at my house. 2.7 inches of rain. That should get you guys kind of excited. 2.5 in 12 hours. Well, what that did to my house was reveal to me some leaks in my roof. That's what it revealed to me. It revealed three. One nice big hole in the ceiling. I mean, that's what it did. It revealed these things. This heavy of a rain revealed some leaks. And you know, the water's running in. First was panic. Got any amens on that one? Then was sorrow. Then was anxiety. It's not going to quit raining. And then God moved me to trust. Because what he showed me was some changes were needed. Isn't life that way? Let me ask you, doesn't life do that? Reveal some things that need to be seen or noticed that you didn't see or notice? You know, two of these holes that were leaking water into my thing, I didn't ever see and I never noticed. I wasn't aware of them, so God made me aware of them. And then so God, in his graciousness, he shows us how we can deal with the leaks that are bringing water in. Same thing in our life. When life happens and circumstance happens, they reveal something. They reveal leaks. A lot of us try to stop up the leaks with man's wisdom, don't we? Not the word of truth, not the gospel, because we don't want to change. Didn't see them before, but there they are. And God, I don't like them being there. Can I ignore them? Can they go away? Will I just put them out? I heard you, but I didn't hear you. All of that goes on with everybody in the room. But then other times, those storms in life show us things that we've ignored, haven't they? There's one leak that's in my over my bathroom that I knew was there. I kind of just hoped it wouldn't leak. And it was just pouring water through the vent after, you know, and it was like, okay, I should have addressed that. God's showing us in his grace and mercy and his love for us that God is here to reveal the things in our life, not for our harm or not because we're so bad or not because God cares for us so much that he wants us to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. And that's how the whole process started. Somebody saw Jesus and heard him and understood him and his word, his truth, and gave his life to Christ and surrendered their life and came to be a believer. And that's how Christ came to us. And God has been doing that ever since Christ died. And so these things in our life that happen in our life, God is just revealing the things that are there, some things we haven't seen, and his word, his truth will guide us and lead us on how we can trust him in those. Some things that were there that we ignored, but now he wants us not to ignore. For us, the reflection of Paul here is the same for us. Because he said three things in here. We have all hope, all faith, and all love. Look at verse 4 and 5. Listen to what he said. Verse 4, since I've heard of your faith in Christ and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Well, that's the whole of life, God says in his word. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says this, abide in these things, church, abide in, live in, dwell in these things in your life. Hope, faith, love. Live in those kind of things. The hope of God, faith in Christ, the love of God in your life. Those kind of things. We are to have faith in Christ, love for God and others, and all hope for God has promised. The Christian is to dwell in all those three things. And Paul is saying, I see them in your life. I'm reflecting upon how they're in your life. You have hope laid up for heaven, a living hope, Peter says in 1 Peter 1. A hope of the hope of glory, Paul wrote in Colossians 2. God's promise of eternal life, so sure, so positive, so sure that it's completely fulfilled and it waits for you in heaven. And you're to have the hope, the reality, the expectation, almost is what God is saying. You know the expectation of what God has done for you because it's in the promise of God, the word of truth, the gospel, the truth of God, and God cannot lie. God's hope doesn't disappoint, for it's a reality of the things not yet seen. 2 Corinthians 3:16. We look at the things not seen compared to the things that are seen. Because a Christian is looking at the promise of God and what God has said in the word of truth, knowing that God will bring about what he has said regardless of it appears like that to me. Because it's by faith that we have hope. And that's what we're looking at here today. As we were reflecting upon our lives, reflecting upon the church and the body of Christ, there is so much hope, so much faith, so much love. The word of truth in Titus 3 says, God cannot lie, and that being justified by his grace, we were made heirs of God, heirs of Christ, according to the hope of eternal life. The gospel message is one of hope. Hope for all mankind. We dwell in that hope as a church family. In faith, Paul says, he said, faith in Christ. That's what he said. We have faith and trust and belief in Christ. That's who we are. Reflect upon your life. That's who you are, right? Your hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises of God that came through faith in Christ, right? That's who you are. That's the basis of who we are. We're reflecting upon how we live each day in our life, and that now we stumble in that and we forget that and we do all the other things, but that's who the basis of who we are and what we believe in. The Lord Jesus and nothing else is the object of our faith. Our trust isn't in our job, it isn't in our career, it isn't in the length of life, it isn't in our church, it isn't in our trust is in him, and we all put our trust in him so we can believe and love one another, but our trust isn't in yourself or me or you, or is it? The object of our faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've learned many lessons. How many lessons have we learned if you just look back through the last year where you had your trust in something else and then the rain came and water came in and God showed you, don't put your trust in that, put it in me. Because God is the one that causes the growth, and he's the only one that really fixes any leak. And we're so thankful to God that he's worked in our life. How about, aren't you? He's been so kind to me all year long, so patient with me all year long, so gentle with me all year long, but focused and coming at me with this truth and saying, Ken, because he truly cares about me. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, we are seeing the work of faith, the labor of love, and the steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus, and it's growing us. As I reflect, and hopefully as you've reflected upon the year, a really good indicator of that we're growing by his grace is love, isn't it? A love for God and a love for others. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter with me for just a moment. Because, you know, let me tell you something. You can love, you know, and that sometimes gets complicated what love is, and we can care about others and that thing. The love of God that is shed abroad in our life, that God wants us to love each other with, that he wants us to love him with, and all of the things there is really a love of choice. And it comes down to this. Let me explain it this way. I want you to really get this. It comes down to this. Ken, Pastor Ken right here, saved by the grace of God, born again, has new life in Christ. This new life has been born in him. in my spirit, I have the ability to love God and love others with the love of God, the love of choice, to care about somebody over myself, to choose to act on their behalf and their best interests that God has for them by my own choice with a passion. I have that in my heart. But Ken here, in his old self, in his fleshly self, has to battle that old fleshly self, because that person in me is selfish and self-focused, and love, God's love, never makes that guy happy or joyful or fulfilled. Never. God said, Ken, deny that one and follow me. God doesn't even talk to that one. This is important for us to understand when we're talking about the love of God and loving others. It isn't about a fulfillment for my flesh. It's a walking in the new life in my spirit. And you can look in your life and see the love of God in your life. Good indicator on you growing in your grace. Look at what Paul said, or what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:22. He wrote this, talking to believers, to me and you, since you have in obedience to the truth, that's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, surrendering your life to Christ, Lord and Savior, trusting in Him for your salvation, in Him alone, putting your faith in Him. It says this, purified your soul for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Did you hear what he said? God, what he did is he gave you a purified your soul. It's your new self, where the ones that's born again. And it gave a sincere love, a real love, a love of God, a love of God's word, and a love of the brethren. It was put then in you by the divine hand of God in your salvation. God changed you, transformed you, that no one in this earth ever had this before the coming of Christ and when they got saved, that God said, this is what I did in salvation. I gave you a sincere love of choice for me, for my word, and for others. Use it. It's in you. And as you grow in the grace of God, it comes out. That's what Peter's talking about. That's what he's referring to. By the divine hand of God, through your believing the truth of Christ, the gospel, the word of truth, God changed you and gave you a real love for God, a love for his word, and a love for others. It's the love of the Spirit in Colossians 3:8. That Paul's identifying. It's God at work through your life, loving others with the love of God. It's in you. That's incredible. That passage has overwhelmed my heart since day one that I came to Christ. Because I love nobody but me before the Lord. Even though I gave lip service that I loved what I loved. It wasn't in me, the ability to love anybody with the real love. It was selfish love. It wasn't in there. And it isn't in anybody that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's a great identification of it. So put all this in our text today, and let's close today. Turn back to Colossians with me. As you hear attentively to the word of truth, as you come to know in depth, intimately acquainted with God and His truth, in His grace, God bears fruit in your life. That's what He says. And God grows you, and hope, faith, and love become more your living home. They become more of your life. It's happening in our lives by His grace. I see it in the body of Christ. I see it in the church. And it leads us to one final thought today. Look at verse 3. Let me help you with this today. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying for you all. That's what it leads to, gratitude. As you reflect upon your life this year, it leads to gratitude. Now let me help us, some of us here, because I wrote this down, it's important. Gratitude's where you go. You don't go to comparing. You do not go to comparing. You do not go to, man, I haven't done good. You did better. You don't go there. You don't go to reflecting upon, oh, well, you know what? You know, one of my children, it was really happening good, and the other one, man, they're just, Lord, help me. That's not where you go. That's not where you go. You don't go to comparing. You don't go, oh, man, I've done really good. My wife, well, you know, the Lord pray for her. That's not where you go. That's not where God wants us to go. That's not where Paul went. That's not where the Word of God goes. That's not where we go. We don't go to comparing. We don't go to looking around and those kind of things. We go to gratitude that God would change any of us, that He would change you, that He would work. And if God revealed some leaks in your roof, it's for your love for you, and He just wants to help you with the leaks. So we don't go to condemnation. We don't go to, oh, man, I'm pathetic. Man, I'm a pathetic Christian. Lord, I don't have any love. I just don't go to there. That's the enemy where He takes you. Don't go there. Don't go to failure. Go to God. Thank you. In gratitude. You'll change me. You'll change that attitude of anger. You'll help me in the attitude of whatever that is that's in your life. It's not about how good or bad we are. It's about who our God is and our God we want to give thanks to. For He's came and He has changed our life. And we grow in Him. This is a good thing to write down. Water leaks exposed are for your good. I had to think about that a long, long time this last week. These are good for me, aren't they, Lord? They can't be good for me. You got to go to gratitude. Look at Colossians 1:12. Look what he said there. In all of that, he said, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Read that verse. Let that meditate on your life. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light of Christ. He qualified you. That's incredible. He qualified us to grow and to change and to represent Him, and we are saints, the called out ones together in the light of Christ. And we have an inheritance awaiting us that the world doesn't even touch to compare to. Look at 3:17 in Colossians. He says this. Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God and the Father. Everything we do, whatever we do, whether we're standing up on the roof, rolling out plastic when it's pouring rain and water's coming in and we're putting brick around, we're driving over to a friend's house to console them in a loss, or we're confronting one of our children and something they're rebelling against the Lord from, and we want God to work in that. I know, we're the same. We have a tendency to give thanks, and I got an awesome drone for Christmas. I stuck it in a tree one day. I can't get it down to it's 50 feet off the ground. I'm just learning lessons left and right, you guys. I want to give thanks, Lord, that I cannot get the drone. It's Cameron's drone, too, so I'm in real trouble. But let's close with this. Be reflective. God is so good, isn't He? Is He absolutely, incredibly good to our lives? Is the goodness of God just flowing upon our life through the Jesus Christ? That's a good place for today, man. Even in the midst of the storms, right? So stand with me and let's just praise our Lord through prayer. As we close 2015 services. Father, as a church family, as your church, we stand here before your throne, before you. We do stand in awe. For you've rescued us. You've saved us. You've delivered us. Christ has come and has been born and lived a sinless life and has died to pay the penalty of each one of our sins if we will put our faith and trust in you. So there's no more penalty. There's no more judgment for our sin for those who've trusted Christ. And also, He's came to deliver us, to rescue from the power of sin leading our life, for it dominating every choice we make, from it directing every step we take. You've come to guide us and walk us, Lord. in a life lived, that we are in some way slowly, in some ways just through the journey of life, or becoming more like our Lord and Savior, that we're living like Him, loving like Him, those things, Lord. You're at work in each and every one of us in your divine way, by your divine hand, in your divine choices, what you're wanting to do. And we would like to ask you to do that, use that work, that divine work in our lives through us to minister to those that are in our lives. Obviously to husbands and wives, obviously to grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles, to our family, to our children. We come before you praying, thanking you, God, for your desire to work in our families. But we want to look outward also too, Lord, recognizing it's just not about us. You created your church, designed it to be here on this planet, to be a light on a hill, to be a testimony of Christ. We would ask that you would use us, Lord, to reach out to those around us, to have a love for the lost, that you would bring many to salvation through us honoring the word of truth, the gospel, us living it as best we can and sharing it best we can, Lord, trusting in you for you to cause the growth. And we come before you standing here giving thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for every step of the journey. Thank you for who you are. We give you praise in Christ's name. Amen. We're dismissed for today.